Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com and our study in Daniel chapter 9 verse 27 of the single phrase, "He shall confirm the covenant with many." Most professing Christians these days get some or all of this phrase completely wrong. They don't identify who He is. They seem agnostic or mistaken about what the covenant referred to here actually is. And even the word many is construed to make this only about Middle Eastern nations. So those who join us for this study are going to receive some very important information to help in your understanding of Daniel's 70th week. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. And now we begin our study in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, titled, "He Shall Confirm the Covenant with Many." This is part 1 of 2.
All right. Real quick, I want to do a current events update before we get in our Bible study. 9 organizations are suing the Trump administration for ending grants to teen pregnancy programs. That's a false headline. The purpose of the changes was to stop killing babies.
Isn't it fun how they always got a female up there that got that close crop here?
Yeah. I want everybody to look at the headline because it's a lie. And you got to get used to that. Your news media is full of crap. Your news media are a bunch of liars. And there's all these white idiots running around saying it's a bunch of Jews. Let me tell you something. The Jews are only part of the problem. White liberals run our media. It's white liberals. And then we got some blacks and Hispanics and Jews mixed in there. But if it wasn't for the white liberals in this country, our country wouldn't be in the mess it's in. They're white. This is my letter I received from Planned Parenthood. Dear supporter, this morning, Planned Parenthood of Greater Ohio, along with the Planned Parenthood Federation of America and other state affiliates, filed suit in federal court against the Trump-Pence administration to fight for the millions of people who depend on Title X, the nation's program, Title 10, the nation's program for affordable birth control and reproductive health care. And that, again, is a line of bull. It's about killing babies. That's what it's about. And just, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but and down at the bottom it says, in March, the Trump-Pence administration tried to completely remake the Title 10 program, changing it so that it no longer focuses on either birth control or reproductive health care, and instead pushes patients toward abstinence.
Amen.
Imagine that. Imagine that. That our government has the audacity to tell human beings to stop having sex like animals.
Amen.
And you know what they'll call that? They'll say it's religious, so it's a violation of church and state because they're a bunch of liars. Our government has a vested interest in their citizens not breeding like dogs.
Amen.
That's a fact. Goes on to say that instead pushes patients toward abstinence and tries to keep patients from coming to Planned Parenthood. Amen.
Amen.
Not only is this illegal, lie, but it could have devastating consequences. Yeah, Planned Parenthood could lose money. That's the devastating consequences of what's going on. Potentially, he admits it, potentially leaving millions without the health care they rely on. Millions. That's what it's all about. He ends it by saying, "We will keep you aware of any new developments in this case as it moves to trial. Sincerely, Iris E. Harvey, President and CEO of Planned Parenthood." Thanks, Iris. I appreciate you keeping me abreast.
Amen.
So that I can keep others abreast.
And, specifically
2 points I want to make. Abortion is murder.
Amen.
That's the first point. Second point is the never-Trump pro-lifers who continue to oppose Donald Trump are unthankful, ungrateful, arrogant, and just too proud to admit they were wrong.
Winning.
If Donald Trump were not doing what he said he would do, I'd be the first one to denounce him. But he is doing what he said he's going to do. That's why the liberals hate him. And these stupid Christians, professing Christians, and I'm not saying they're not Christians, they're just stupid, who are running around bad-mouthing Trump because they watch TV and they get their news from either TV or a bunch of YouTube idiots. There's a bunch of idiot Christians on YouTube who spend all their time trying to convince people that Trump's a Mason or a Jesuit and he's this bad character and everything. They haven't got a shred of evidence for those comments. And that's slander. And until you can prove it, shut up.
Amen, brother.
Because I am thankful. I'm thankful. Are you?
Yes, amen.
I don't understand these Christians who are so thankless and ungrateful. And when Trump does something wrong, say so. I'm not standing up here as a Trump apologist. I'm standing up here saying, if Obama would have done the right thing, I'd been saying the same thing about Obama. But he was a creep. And that's why I hardly ever said anything good about the guy. We're going to be in Daniel 9:27 in our Bible study, if you want to go ahead and turn there. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read a letter we love from Brother Jeremiah, the evangelist down in Texas. And he said, hey, Pastor, just want to send you a little something to say thanks for doing the video for my Christmas special. You remember when we did the little video? And to say thanks for your honest preaching. It's getting harder and harder to find preachers that actually preach. We'll keep up the good fight, and I think I'm heading to Ohio this fall for an archery hunt, hoping I can swing by Sunday morning to meet you all in person. I'll bring gifts with me. Well, God bless and keep praying for Jesus to return. I'm ready to go home. As Paul said, I have a desire to depart. Thank you, Brother Jeremiah. And this is Hattie sent. And Genesis 9:3 is what the text there is. It says, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. Amen. That's good. J.B. Hunting, that's what his... He makes his ministry. I don't know if he probably makes his living that way. He's a good brother. All right, so we're in Daniel 9:27. Must be getting humid. My beard's curling up on me. Yeah, might have to take Charlie's advice. It's got to be fragrance-free and all that. Or is it fragrance-free?
Yeah.
All right. Let me try it. No, he shall confirm the covenant with many is our title, and that's actually all the part of much of the verse we're going to cover tonight. You'll see why. In Daniel 9:27, but we want to go ahead and read the verse. And if everyone's there, let's go ahead and read verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, I'm not criticizing the person who put the chapter and verse markings. I'm just making a statement of fact. That could be like three or four verses right there if you wanted to break that up. And that's why we're going to do that in our study. But let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. And we just pray now that we can focus. And Lord, that everyone in the room and everyone watching live and those who listen later on, Lord, that this will be something that will be edifying, something that will teach them and build their faith. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we enable them to give an answer to every man for the hope that is in them. And we just love this book. We thank you and ask your Holy Spirit for his help as we study in Jesus' name. Amen. If you look there, that picture, can you see that very well? That's a artistic rendering of a concordant. And the fellow in the big robe there, he's not a transgender, he's the Pope. They dress like transgender, but they're not. As far as we know, this one isn't. Francis isn't, is he? But that's a signing of a concordant. And that's similar to what's going to happen when the Antichrist comes on the scene and confirms the covenant. It's similar. And knowing how important this prophecy is, it should be no surprise that it is attacked by so many groups and in so many ways. It's not exaggerating at all to say that most colleges, Bible colleges or Christian colleges, most Christian seminaries, most pulpits, church pastors and preachers and teachers will totally destroy this text in order to not teach what it actually just says. They have an agenda. They go into the text believing that their denomination is the authority, that or their, you know, Luther or Calvin or some man, some fallible human being is their authority. And so then they go in and make the Bible teach what they're told it should teach, instead of just reading it and letting it speak. And it says here, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." Now some of the false claims, and that's just about this portion I'm talking about, not the whole 70 weeks. We've gone over, I've mentioned from time to time, some of the false claims. And I want to stop and say this. If you're not learning the Bible in an effort to refute the false claims, then right now you're backslidden. Because you're not supposed to study the Bible just for what you think you can get out of it. You're supposed to be equipping yourself so you can preach the truth to others. And so when you study the Bible, you're not supposed to say, me, 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 me. You're supposed to say, what can I learn that I can then have in my heart and mind, and when I'm confronted with error, I can represent. I can represent the truth of the Scripture. And so I say that just because I got a comment last week from somebody else, not here, but they made comment that there's a lot of stuff that that I teach that they really don't have any much use for, but they find things once in a while that I say that they find useful. Well, I'm not boasting, but I'm here to tell you that person, I told them, they're listening wrong. Those things that they say they aren't any use to them, they will be one of these days, and they'll be sorry that they didn't pay attention. We are surrounded by error. And if you love those people, you should want to be able to talk to them about their error and give them some truth. Amen? You're going to hear people say that the he in verse 27 there is not the Antichrist. They'll actually say that's Jesus. And then they totally go off into error in the way they teach it. When it says confirm the covenant, and a lot of us have been raised on this. A lot of us, I'm one of them. I have to try to keep myself from saying peace treaty. Because if you listen to the popular prophecy teachers over the last 30 years, or you go back and read their books and everything, they will constantly talk about how there's coming a peace treaty with the Antichrist. The Bible never ever says that. The Bible says he's going to confirm the covenant. We're going to look at that a little closer in a little bit. Now, the Bible does say it will involve peace, but it's not a peace treaty. And we'll get into that a little more in a minute. Those words, the covenant, they would, I think most dispensationalists today will teach that that's not referring to the Mosaic covenant. And we're going to show exactly why it is, and we know it is. And it says many. And they'll say, well, that word many means it's not a global thing. This isn't world government. It's not a world thing. It's only those people in the Middle East. And most of the people, have you heard of people teaching that the Islamic Mahdi is going to be the Antichrist? You heard that? Yeah. Waleed and Joel Richardson and some of those guys. And if you read their books, the Middle East Beast, I think is one Joel Richardson wrote. If you read and listen to them, they are limiting Bible prophecy that you're reading about end times Bible prophecy to the Middle East. And we're going to see that that's just not the case. But to start with, if you're not using the King James Bible, you are being misled. I've heard people say, oh, well, I don't think if someone's using the new version, it doesn't necessarily mean they're in error. Yes, it does. I'll guarantee you. Talk to them long enough, you're going to find out that they have believed that new version and it's led them into error. And we're going to consult the new version translators again. And we're going to see in this verse, the New King James Version, says, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. That's like saying there's that the Barbara Bush's pastor at her funeral said that Jesus is her way to God, but she believed there were people who had other ways to get to God. And so Jesus is a Savior. No, He's the Savior. And all you have to do, did you see that? I mean, you go back to Genesis 3, we've talked about it, how Satan, just taking one word, and he totally changes what it says. That's what they did here. That's why people, they'll look at you weird and you say, that on your screen right now, that is a satanic corruption of the Bible. You say, why? Because any time you change a word in the Bible, it's satanic.
Amen.
He's the first one to do it. Go back and read it. Genesis 3. He started it. That's why we give Him credit for it. So every time you do it, we're going to call it satanic. And that's what the New King James Version did right there. The NIV, or as I like to call it, the HIV. Because Harold Woodstra was one of the main translators. He got AIDS going to New York bathhouses while he was working on the NIV. And then died from AIDS. Virginia Mellencott, the literary consultant or whatever. She's a lesbian. And she writes books all the time bragging about how she worked on the NIV. Well, the NIV, HIV, says he will confirm what? With many for 1:7. Now, you're supposed to be updating the Bible so that it's easier to understand. Fail. And not only did you make the covenant a covenant like Satan, but then you take a clear statement of 1 week, which you've already established if you've studied the previous verses, that each week is 7 years. And instead of calling it a week, they still call it a seven. You see what I'm saying? They lie when they say they're putting out these new versions so they can update the language and make it more understandable. They're liars. It's about the money. They all have... One person has NIV. Who is it now? Has NIV.
Zondervan,
and it's owned by the same people who put out all kinds of the Satanic Bible and other stuff, and all owned by the same people. The New King James Version, owned by Thomas Nelson. The Christian Standard Version, or they call it the Christian Standard Bible, that was previously the Holman Christian Standard Bible, that's owned by the Southern Baptist Convention. And every time they sell one of those, they make the money. That's why they don't want you to buy a King James, because if it's not printed by them, they don't make any money. And if you buy one of theirs, they make more money than they would off of you buying a King James. See? The love of money is the root of all evil. Bible. Nobody. Now the ESV is even worse. And he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week. A strong covenant. Obviously, you're not going to get the idea that this is the Mosaic covenant from that text. See how they just, if you're reading your ESV, your mind's going to be warped. And to really mess things up, the message. The message. Then for 1:7, he will forge many and strong alliances. Eugene Peterson is the guy behind that. He was on dope. He had to be on dope when he did this. Have you ever read the message?
No.
Go to the bookstore and get a message off of the and read Psalm 23, and you'll have to agree with me. Eugene Peterson's on crack. If you read Psalm 23 out of the message, it's ridiculous. Oh, that's a Hawkins joke, isn't it? If you got the wrong Bible, we just saw, you're going to be totally warped. If you're not a workman, now we talked about this, and I'm not going to go on and on about it, but Sunday we talked about, if you're not a workman who is rightly dividing the word of truth, you're ripe for a fall. So if you got the wrong Bible, and or you're not rightly dividing, as it says in 2 Timothy 2:15, read that with me. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you're not working at it, you're not rightly dividing it, you're not studying. And we looked at the, some of you were here Sunday, those of you who weren't, we looked at the corruptions of the new versions here. The New King James takes the word study out and says, be diligent. I think the ESV said, try really hard. Just nonsense. New Vatican versions and anti-dispensationalism is producing the pathetic situation we see in professing evangelicalism and fundamentalism today. I know that's a mouthful, but it's a fact. That when I got saved, the churches were still vibrant. You didn't go to a rock concert, you went to a church meeting. You didn't just play around, you prayed. You prayed for people, you prayed for needs, you lifted up the Lord. You sang like the song we sang a minute ago. You sang songs that mean something. You didn't just put your hands in the air and say the same thing over and over and over and over and over. So you could feel something. Ooh, I'm feeling it. 7-Eleven. That's where we're at today. And so we got all these new garbage Bibles, and we got all this confusion from the pulpit and in the minds of the people because of their anti-dispensationalism. And it's a mess. So let's get to work and answer the question, who is he? It says, and he shall confirm the covenant. He is the prince that shall come. In verse 26. Look at your Bible. You got your Bible open? The previous verse we studied, it says, and the, right there in the middle, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That prince to come is the he in verse 27. The same person. We previously saw that the people of the prince were who? Romans. The prince is Antichrist from where? Rome. Yeah. Listen, folks. Sometimes, you know, it's a bad thing these days to be dogmatic. He's too dogmatic. Well, I try not to be dogmatic unless it's dogma. If it is fact, if it is true, I'm not going to be playing games like the scribes. You know, when Jesus taught, said the things that they were just, you know, impressed with and shocked was the fact he taught with authority. But today's preacher, he's admired if he stands up and says, well, you know, we don't really know, but, you know, could be... you know, some people think it's the Antichrist, but you know, it might not be. There are good godly scholars today that you can read who will tell you otherwise. They're smarter than me, so who am I to say? That's what you get from a lot of preaching today. They call that preaching. Yeah. And they have no authority. They're so afraid of taking a position and having to defend that position. The text says that the people of the prince who would come and destroy Jerusalem is where the prince would come from. The people were Romans, therefore the Antichrist is Roman. And I'm telling you folks, now anytime anybody tries to tell you it's the Islamic Mahdi or Henry Kissinger or whoever they say it is, you know they're nuts. He's Roman. We, just to remind you of this little chart we used where we showed the 69th week ended with the death, burial, resurrection, ascension of Jesus. We're waiting for what we're reading about here when he, the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant. That will begin on the far end there, the 70th week. You got that picture in your head? So just as the 69th week of this prophecy was coming to a conclusion, just as Jesus was heading toward the cross, he says in John 12:31, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." And you say, well, that was 2,000 years ago. Yeah, because as we talked about and we looked at the chart, that the 69th and 70th week potentially could have happened right one after the other. But you and I are in here. We are the parenthesis. But if you close that gap, then when Jesus says now, it would have been now. Amen. And by God's timetable, it's only been a couple of days. Because 1,000 years is as a day. So if you think biblically, there's nothing wrong with what Jesus said. It's absolutely true. It says, and he shall what? Wait a minute. It's not a strong covenant or a peace treaty. Your King James Bible is not in error. This is not a peace treaty, although it does include a promise of peace. And how do we know? Now, that's a strong word. These days, everything's relative. Relativity. Well, I believe there's things we can know. Anything the Bible says clearly, we can know. Amen? Well, how do we know that the covenant, when you read that, is the Mosaic covenant? The Bible tells me so. Yeah. You say, where? Daniel 9, you should be right there. Look at verse 4. Daniel 9, same event, same chapter. Only a few minutes have passed between verse 4 and what we're reading, verse 27. It says, verse 3 says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." And this is Daniel praying. Daniel is a what? He's a Jew. Okay? Just remember that as we read. Daniel is a Jew. Verse 4. "And I prayed unto..." Read that with me. "And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping..." Keeping the what? "Keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments." Daniel uses the same words, the covenant. What is Daniel talking about? He's talking about the Mosaic covenant. The covenant. God has kept the covenant. What covenant? The Mosaic covenant. And mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, which is part of the covenant. You see that? Is anybody having trouble seeing that? That in the text, in the context, the covenant means the Mosaic covenant. It's what Daniel was under when he called it the covenant. He was under the Mosaic covenant when he said that. He could not be talking about any other covenant. The covenant, when Daniel's speaking, is the Mosaic covenant. In verse 4 and in verse 27. "And he shall confirm the covenant." Some of you may not understand why that's so important, why I'm pounding that point. And it's because it's a main covenant.